CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The first visit by a Secretary of State to the People's Republic of China in 5 years. Mr. Blinken, at the close, spoke of hope and spoke of expectation. I welcome my friend and colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and our colleague Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center. We're going to be detailed about Mr. Blinken's hopes and expectations. A headline in these last hours in the Voice of America: tensions high as Chinese vessels shadow Vietnam's oil gas operations. After a nearly month-long incursion of a survey ship and its large entourage, writes the copy from Ho Chi Minh City, more Chinese vessels are sailing through sensitive locations within Vietnamese waters. Vietnam's EEZ, Exclusive Economic Zone, extends out 200 nautical miles from the country's coast. The presence of Chinese research, Coast Guard, and civilian ships in these waters, in addition to harassing Vietnamese oil and gas operations, showcases Beijing's push of contested claims in the resource-rich waters, South China Sea. Rick, a very good day to you. I do not recall speaking of Vietnam since the visit of the Teddy Roosevelt that may or may not have led to an outbreak of COVID on that ship. And before that, a contest offshore about oil exploration. This reminds me of that. Is there anything new here, the flooding of fishing vessels and Coast Guard vessels? What is China's ambition? How is Vietnam responding? Good day to you, Rick.
Good day, John. Good day, Gordon. Indeed, China is continuing with its program of harassment to suppress. It is harassing the Vietnamese legitimate economic activity in the South China Sea, just as it is harassing a Philippine frigate for the last week as well. Also, that Philippine frigate steaming about within the Philippines economic exclusion zone. The Chinese are simply forcing upon Vietnam and the Philippines that they are occupying illegally Chinese territory in the South China Sea and that they have to leave. That is the Chinese goal. It is a murderous goal because China wants the South China Sea in order to be able to project globally. It wants to secure Hainan Island as a secure base for its nuclear submarine, missile submarine bastions, and for its projection into space to control the Earth-Moon system.
Gordon, to recover Vietnam and China, the late 20th century saw sharp conflict between these two local powers. And as I recall, Vietnam, this is following the withdrawal of the U.S. and its allies in the 1970s, Vietnam, with American equipment, handed China a defeat. If my memory is correct, has China recovered from that, or does Vietnam still patrol its border and threaten China's integrity?
Certainly, you're correct. 1979, Deng Xiaoping launched a small war on Vietnam to, quote unquote, teach it a lesson. The lesson that was learned, however, was that the Chinese military wasn't very good. Vietnam still is defending its northern border, and Vietnam isn't threatening China, certainly not on that border. The Chinese have recovered in the sense that they've become much more aggressive. They've done very well in terms of fighting off parts of Vietnam in the South China Sea, as Rick just talked about. And it is continuing to press Vietnam on its offshore oil exploration, which, by the way, the Russians are involved in. So China is actually pressuring Russia at the same time.
You have a question for Rick, Gordon.
Rick, you know, traditional military theory is that you concentrate your forces and that you win in one location before moving on to the next. China seems to be adopting the Mao Zedong view that you pressure everybody at the same time. You mentioned the Philippines. Of course, there's Taiwan, there's Vietnam. It seems like the only target that China at this moment is not pressuring hard is Japan. What do you make of China going after almost all of its adversaries at the same time?
You're absolutely right, Gordon. This is what China is doing. It is using its military forces to put all of its adversaries off kilter to raise their anxieties, increase their fear of war. And in the medium term, this is all about concessions. This is all about forcing the adversary into a dialogue or a negotiation in which they are always prepared to give something up. This is the same strategy that is being used against the United States. And when China unveils its 320 or 360 new ICBM silos, perhaps sometime later this year, the United States will begin to experience the kinds of coercion that the rest of China's neighbors and adversaries have been experiencing now for almost 20 years. But for the United States and for Americans, this is going to be a very new experience.
AUKUS and the Quad, conversations between Tokyo and Manila. I could go on, Rick. The neighborhood is organizing, and this is China's response. Is it adequate to the organization? AUKUS and Quad are serious business.
Indeed, John. But you see, there is a built-in limitation on the part of the United States and subsequently by its allies. You see, in the 1960s, the United States had 200 tactical nuclear warheads based in Taiwan, 200 nuclear weapons just in Taiwan. And that was reduced only to 100 by the end of the 60s before they were withdrawn to facilitate normalization. The Biden administration simply refuses to deploy adequate tactical nuclear weapons to our willing allies. Our South Korean allies were practically begging for them earlier this year. If South Korea gets them, the Japanese will likely host them as well until the crisis is over. And our friends in Australia would probably host them too, despite their very difficult political tableau. But the United States is simply not taking the steps necessary to prove to Xi Jinping that his wars will lose. War against Taiwan, Japan, the Philippines. We're not taking the steps necessary to deter him. Therefore, he is of the belief that, yeah, he can win a war because the Americans simply are not ready to defend themselves.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes.
Rick, Henry Kissinger just a day or so ago warned that war with China is probable. Your thoughts?
Very probable, Gordon. I would be quite surprised. I mean, I'm hoping we make it through the next 2 years, but this to me is the very sensitive time now until 2026. That's when we will begin to see the fruit of various modernization and development programs. But the Chinese understand this as well, and they're very capable of engineering what in their minds could be a brief, short, glorious war to set the United States back, weaken the entire American leadership structure in Asia. And if they capture Taiwan, then that's basically game over. Pax Americana will come tumbling down.
Rick, just to be specific, 2 years is your window. That's what you're watching, right? Between now and 26.
Yes, John.
Rick Fisher, Senior Fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, and 1945. I'm John Bell.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.